turn over to the book of Luke, the second chapter. I did not check with my pastor on what he's preaching on this morning, and it won't make a bit of difference, because whatever it is, it'll be good and wonderful. And if he uses Luke 2, I just kind of wanted to take and this morning and read a little bit of it and be reminded of how wonderful he is, how good he is. The Christmas story is a tremendous story of the wonderful grace of God that sent his son to this old earth, this old sin-infested earth, because he loved us so much. Chapter 2, it says, and it came to pass, and that's in Luke, it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth unto Judea, into the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in a swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. You know, I was thinking the marvelous story of even here, how God appointed a time. Everything was perfect timing. God brought Joseph and Mary here to Bethlehem because the scriptures had prophesied that's where he would be born. And God put all of those wonderful things together and appointed the time, brought them from a distance to that special, special place. And because, you know, the Bible tells us that that's where he would be born. Micah 5:2, I think I have it here. But thou, Bethlehem, Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of there shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth have been from of old, from everlasting. God prophesied way back in the Word of God that Bethlehem would be the place where Jesus Christ would be born. It's a marvelous thing, and we see it come to pass here. I think about his wonderful name. Over in the first chapter of the book of Luke, an angel came to Mary and told her she was going to have a child, and told her that his name would be Jesus. It's just a wonderful prophecy of the Word of God, and I love, you do too, you love the Word of God, you love how all things fall into place, all of the prophecies that God has given us concerning his wonderful son. Look at chapter 2, verse 21. He says, and when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And again, it's just all of these things that God has just absolutely put together. Every detail comes to pass because it's the Word of God. This is the Son of God, the Lord Jesus. His birth is a wonderful, wonderful thing. It was a humble birth. The Bible prophesied that it would be, but you know, in Romans, and I'll just read these scriptures to you, Romans, the 8th chapter, he said, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. You see, it was a appointed time, a perfect time, and God sent his Son so that he could die for our sins. Then in Philippians, he said, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men. Look at verse number 7 of chapter 2. She brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. I'm not going to elaborate on all of that. You've heard it. In fact, someone, and I can't remember who it was, maybe it was Brother Parker, talking about there, and there was no room for him in the end, and how he laid in a manger. What amazing, amazing thing it is that God did for us. And he tells us then also in verse number 12, he says, and this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Then also we know that it was proclaimed from heaven. God sent the angels to proclaim the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse number 9. So we're just going to kind of skip down through some of these. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were so afraid. We'll talk about verse 10 in a moment. But look at verse 13 also. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying. Can you, have you ever just tried to imagine how those shepherds felt that night when these angels and these multitude of heavenly hosts began to sing and praise God for the precious birth of the Son of God? That must have been an amazing thing. I sometimes would have, think to myself, wouldn't it have been something to observe that, to look at that, to watch that, and how those shepherds must have felt. But notice in verse 10, a glorious truth. He says, and the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. You see what he did? He brought joy to all, and he brought hope to all people. And again, I'm so grateful and thankful that as you meet people, as you go out in the streets and knock on doors, that you do not have to worry about every finding one person that Jesus didn't die for. I don't care who they are. Jesus died for them and loves them, and I think it's a good thing for us to remember. Amen. As you live your life, as you meet people, you knock on doors. We do a lot of door knocking, and whoever opens that door, one thing you can be assured of, Jesus loves them. There's no doubt about it, and he died on the cross for them, you see. So to me, it's a wonderful news. This here birth of Christ brought joy and hope to every single person, every individual. Not only that, it brought God down to man. This is one of the amazing stories. If you'll notice in verse 11, he says, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. Who is he? Which is Christ, the Lord. The word Christ, I'm sure it has deeper meanings, but it's the anointed one. The anointed one that God sent, the Christ. And Jesus, of course, is that Christ. So he brought heaven down to man. Not only heaven down, he brought God down to man, because Jesus is God. Amen. He not only the Son of God, he is God the Son. And oh, we should never forget that, because he is worthy of all praise. And this is the birth course of this God man come to earth for us. It's a marvelous thing. And then you notice he caused men to seek him. In verse 15 and verse 16, he says, and it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And in verse 16, and they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Again, when you think about that, the birth of Christ did cause men to go and seek him. Now, I realize, understand, you do too, that it's God seeking us first. That's why he sent his Son to die for our sins. But ever since then, God has drawn men to seek him. And even today, let us not forget. I know, and I'm not giving you anything new. I'm just trying to uplift the Lord a little bit this morning, but I just want to say to you, you know, Christmas has become so different than what God intended for it to be. It just has, and we as Christians sometimes don't help that. We make it a time of gifts, sometimes too much gifts, and it becomes about giving, and I think that's a good thing, but it's not always from the right standpoint. It's more how much we can give somebody than the whole meaning of what Christmas should be. Am I getting across what I'm trying to say? I just feel like we've got to be so careful on all of this, because the meaning of Christmas is not somebody getting a whole pile of gifts. The meaning of Christmas is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was born that day, and the great gift that he gave to us, which was the eternal life. And somehow we need to strike a balance in that, I think, don't you? We need to keep remembering that it's about the Lord Jesus and about his love for us and what we can maybe give to people whom don't have, you know, that has a deep need, and they know it come from some people who love the Lord and wanted to help them. Don't you think maybe that would be a good thing for Christmas? And I do, and like I say, I know when you've got families and you got to kind of balance everything, and you give gifts to your family. Not saying a thing wrong with that, but boy, let's keep the other in mind, that there's probably people out there that God would have us to give to. I'm a firm believer in the fact that God directs our lives in every aspect of our life if we let him. I believe that. I believe from the time I get up in the morning that the Lord should be in control, and he should guide me, and he should direct me on what I should do. And I believe something. He's got people out there that he wants me to affect. And I believe he has people he wants you to have some effect in their life. And I think if we'll listen to him, we'll listen to the Holy Spirit of God, he will bring those people to our mind, bring them across our path. And we should be always ready and willing to mind him and to do what he says, because we don't know what's going on in them people's lives that we meet. We just don't know. We just don't have that knowledge. But I do believe that God does the directing if we will listen. I try to live that way. I want to live that way. I want to be mindful of what he says to do, whatever it is. I want to be mindful of it, you know. And it don't always have to be enormous, large gifts. It can just be something that God says, I want you to do this. He has a reason for it. And I think that ought to be really a way that we live every day of our life, and especially on this time of year. It's a special time when we can, you know, listen to the Lord and mind him and do what he says, you see. It's a great time because I think people's hearts are tender, more tender around Christmas. And it's a time when they'll maybe really be willing to listen to the real message of Christmas, you know, if we can just get that out. All right, and then in verse 17, I've already talked about that a little bit, but he says, and when they had heard, seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. You know, to me, they did exactly what God would have them to do when they heard the news. They took it and spread it. I believe that's just the appointed thing that God has given the good news of the gospel to us for, to take it and spread it. And I was talking about that a little bit, but folks, you know, it is our responsibility that we have a great, wonderful salvation, and have a wonderful Savior that died for us. How is people going to know that if we don't become the instrument that God uses to spread the wonderful truth of the gospel of Jesus. See, they took this news immediately after they found it, and they took it and they spread it. And I believe that's what God wants for us to do. This is a marvelous story, the story of the birth of Christ, and of course then his death and burial and resurrection. And we need to get that message out. And that can be done on an individual basis over and over and over because of people we meet. And we can tell the wonderful story of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. They took it and they spread it. Not only this birth of Christ caused men to wonder. If you'll notice in verse 18, he says, "And all they that heard it wondered at all those things which were told them by the shepherds." Throughout the Gospels, you find people being amazed at Jesus Christ. You'll find them being amazed at his very words, and they would say, how could man speak like this? And they were amazed at the Son of God. And not only that, when they saw his power over nature and how he had the power to just stop the storms, the winds and the storms, and they was amazed. People's been amazed at the great power of God since Jesus came. And again, I'm convinced of something. I'm convinced that our experience with Jesus Christ, the salvation that we have, ought to be passed down. I think my son David, we got Bobby in here, and Pastor Jerry, and our daughter Lori, I think they ought to know that in April of 1966, my wife and I come to know the wonderful Savior Jesus Christ, and that they ought to know from my mouth and from my testimony that we received Christ and was saved. And we need to pass that down. We need to never let our children and those coming up behind us ever forget there was a day in our life that we received Christ. And he is what makes a difference in our life. We're not talking about perfection, but we're talking about that we live the way we live because of a wonderful Savior that not only saved us, but took a hold of our lives and done something for us and changed us and is still in the process of doing that. Amen? So I'm convinced of that. If you go back, and I don't want to get on a rabbit track, but if you go back into the Old Testament, you'll find time and time again, especially back in the book of Judges, you'll find where the people who did not see or hear of the great works of God began to do evil. They began to do evil. Now, we can't let our generations coming up behind us ever forget about what they did. We need to tell them what Jesus did for us. But not only that, display it in our life. They need to be able to hear it, but they need to be able also to see it. Every generation needs to see the power of God working. Not just hear about it. It's good to hear about it, but they need to see it working. That's why I'm so thankful. I'm so grateful for Blessed Hope Baptist Church. We have a good heritage here of what God has done. But what's great too, it's continuing. I know it's just a building, but that's good, that building's sitting out there. The generation that was coming up saw God do a great work there and gets to see God move in the lives of people here on a regular basis, where people get saved and their life begins to change. Every generation needs to see that, not just hear about what happened back in our generation, but they need to see it today. So again, folks, it's good that you tell your people, your families, about what God done for you, but also that they can see it. See what God has done and is doing for you on a continued basis. So that people will just wonder at the wonderful work of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Then also, he brought worship and praise to God. Look at verse number 13 and 14. He says, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. You notice this birth of the Lord Jesus Christ brought praise unto God Almighty. Look at verse number 20. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Look at verse 28. And of course, this was Simeon coming in. He was there at the temple. In verse 28, he said, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word. Do you notice that the birth of Christ brought praise and honor to God Almighty? And when I was mentioning a while ago about the Christmas time and the Santa and all of this kind of stuff, it doesn't bring praise to God. Them things do not bring praise to God Almighty. And that's what we should be doing when we celebrate or honor this day, is to bring praise to God. How good God is, you know. And this other, of course, we know what the world has done. We know Satan's tactics, but has done nothing but to turn away praise unto God, and they give praise to this old world and all of its gifts and this Santa deal and all of those kind of things. But that's not what was intended. God wants us, when we think about the birth of Jesus and Christmas time, we want to bring praise unto the Lord God, our wonderful Savior, you see. Over in verse 38, and of course this was Anna, a prophetess, and it says, and she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Once again, she gave thanks unto God, and it brought praise, you see, unto the Lord. Not only this, the birth of Jesus Christ brought an end to all of the waiting. I can't imagine all the years that it went by, and they was looking for the birth of the Messiah. Oh my, for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years looking for the birth of the Son of God. Well, this brought an end to it. If you'll notice here in verse number 11, it says, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. It was finally done. It was here. Jesus was born. Also in verse number 25, it says, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. You know, I got to thinking about that. Simeon, of course, knew that he was not going to die till he saw the salvation of the Lord. And he now, when he saw the salvation of the Lord, he finally saw Jesus Christ, he said, it's time for me to die. Look at verse 30. He said, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. I got to thinking about that, and I thought to myself, you know, he now was ready to die because he saw the salvation of the Lord. And I thought back in 1966 in April, when I received Christ as my Savior, I saw the salvation of the Lord. I saw Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as my Savior, the one dying for me. You know what? At that point, I was ready to die. Well, I was ready. I had everything I needed for death and for eternity because I had Jesus Christ. And you know, that's just true. We are ready once we have seen Christ by faith as the Savior of the world. We are ready to die. We may not die right then, but we're ready to die. And there is so many, many people out there, folks, that are just not ready to die. You understand that? I mean, do you really understand that? There is multitudes and multitudes and multitudes out there. If they died today, they wouldn't go to heaven. You know that. You understand it. I'm not telling you anything new. But you know what? We've got to do something about that. We've got to see at least they hear the message of the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ, you see. And then again, I'm going to make mention again of this truth. In verse number 31, he said, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And you notice here, he included all, Israel and all Gentiles. There's really basically only two kinds of people. You're either a Gentile or you're a Jew. And he said he brought light to all people. I don't care who it is. All people. And to me, again, that's one of the most wonderful truths that is out there for us, no matter who we meet, no matter who we see. All people can be saved, for Jesus Christ, the Son of God, died for them. Now, I just happen to think this morning that Jesus is a wonderful Savior. And I'm just very thankful. In fact, he's the only Savior. And I'm just, you know, just thinking this morning, what a wonderful, wonderful birth that we can look to and remember, and what it meant to us, and just kind of rejoice. Remember that little candy cane? Those stripes he took for us, the blood he shed, the fact that he's the solid rock, the foundation of the church, amen, the firmness and solidness of the promises of God Almighty, amen, that wonderful name called Jesus, who is a good and great shepherd of the flock, who reaches down with his staff and time again seems to pick us up. Amen. And sometimes has to discipline us. Just has to do that. It's right and proper for him to do that, because he's doing it because he loves us. Well, I was kind of instructed to be sure I got done in plenty of time so they could get into this auditorium. So I think we'll pray. Father, thank you again today for your grace, goodness, kindness. I just want to say thank you for Jesus, his wonderful love for us. In Jesus' name.